I'll take it in, but don't look down.
'Cause I'm on top of the world, hey. I'm on top.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to JJ's Football Fix. My name is Jordan Gifkins. Alongside me is the very jumpy Jake White.
Hey.
I say jumpy because you jump a lot.
I'd be concerned if that was for any other reason, Jordan.
Yes. Episode 29 today. It's always good to be back for a 29th straight week.
Is it though?
I actually think it's about 33-odd weeks straight because of the international breaks weeks we haven't done and stuff like that.
It's quite incredible, isn't it?
It's a realistically long time. It's good. EPL today. We're, like I said last week, I feel like we haven't even been discussing EPL ever because a lot of our time and energy is being devoted to the A-League podcast at the moment due to unforeseen circumstances, foreseen circumstances by the FFA.
Because they're a bunch of... Yeah, let's not.
Yep. The new tactic, just rant at the FFA, regardless of which podcast we do. why can't the FFA sort out the Fox Sports fucking viewing shit for the EPL?
It's fucking true, let's be honest.
But yeah, EPL to talk about. Big game, little game, cardboard box.
I'm not going to do my other version.
That's what I was thinking as I said it. I was like, yeah. We can't
wish you a Merry Christmas.
Just before we start previewing and reviewing and doing all that extra stuff, we can't not talk about Barcelona this morning. That was fucked.
Yeah, they're a reasonably good footballing side, Barcelona.
Look, it's no surprise that no team has come back from a 4-1. A 4-0, so first leg aggregate scoreline to progress to the next round of the Champions League. If any team was going to do it, it was going to be Barca, though, let's be honest. They've been the best team of the last however long, realistically. And they're probably going to be the best team for the rest of eternity. But look, they're not a bad footballing side, like you said. And
they're not, no. They're not average.
Unbelievable scenes this morning. At Camp Nou, 88th, 91st, 95th minute.
They have the tendency to win a few games throughout the course of the season as well.
Well, what must PSG must be thinking? 87th minute, Barcelona need two goals to force it into extra time, three goals to win, and they go bang, 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 and they progress.
I'm just thinking, because obviously I'm a massive Melbourne Victory fan, so I travel over the country for them. I'm just thinking about the 4,000 PSG fans that travelled to Barcelona, I think, and 4-0 up over after the first leg. It's going to be a great trip in Barcelona.
Check, we might lose, Spain.
we might lose, but let's be honest, we're going to get through to the quarterfinals here against Barcelona. And realistically, they're probably thinking the exact same thing in the 87th minute of the match too. They're probably just chilling, thinking, fuck yeah, this is beautiful. And yeah.
Even in the 90th, like Neymar still scored, they needed another goal.
They still need another two.
And then Suarez died. It's like...
I didn't really think...
Oh, they did. No, you're not wrong. They needed three goals to progress. Otherwise, PSG would have gone through and away goals.
Yeah, there was 3-1 still about 88 minutes in, so Barcelona still needed to score three goals.
I can't. And they did it. Crazy. That's nuts. Such a
I've gone and backed Barca to win the Champions League.
Yeah, no, I would as well. Like that, I probably will. 100%. How much are they paying? Like $4, $5.
$5.50.
Yeah, so you get on that. You just put $50 on it. You're good.
I only put $20 on it, but
yeah. Well, money's money.
It is, yes. You're not wrong, Jordan.
But yeah, crazy. I wrote in the chat this morning, Jake, not sure if you saw it. Imagine winning a game of Champions League football 5-1 and not progressing to the next stage of the Champions League.
And then about 30 seconds later?
Literally. I got up. I was trying to get a stream up for the commentary of the game on the train to work this morning. And it wasn't loading, so I'm like, oh, whatever. I just closed the app. Well, I didn't care. I just went to flick back on to 6-1. I'm like, what?
Yeah, nah, it's nuts. Fair play to Barcelona. Like, I know this is a Premier League podcast, but it's one of those things where, like, everyone was talking about it. Like, I go onto my Facebook and people I didn't know that likes football were posting about it. My Twitter for about an hour was just flooded about what happened and stuff like that. Like, it's one of those things where, like, obviously it's the first time that's happened in Champions League history and stuff, but it's one of those ones where you have to appreciate it no matter what the team is, because, like, there's only so often you're going to see sort of things like that. So, yeah, fair play to all.
PSG fan TV.
Oh, sacre bleu blood.
Sacre bleu fam. I wasn't showing my children this performance. I spit in your general direction. Yeah, let's talk about the Premier League, Jake. We'll kick things off Saturday the 4th of March. Manchester United hosting Bournemouth. This is another game just to talk about. Just after talking about the Barcelona PSG game, let's talk about Man United Bournemouth. This is just another one of those games that Man United somehow don't get 3 points from.
They've had it all season too.
20 shots on goal, 67% possession, 539 passes to 219, 15 corners. I don't know.
Yeah.
They've done the same against Burnley. They did the same against Middlesbrough, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a common trend, and it's so weird because they play really well and then they just don't win. Obviously, Bournemouth were down to 10 men after 45 minutes as well, so it just made the job even easier for them, and they still couldn't. They missed a 72nd-minute penalty, Ibrahimovic's penalty being saved by Arthur Bork. I think when he missed that penalty, everyone knew what was going to happen, to be honest.
Yeah.
But Rojo gave him the lead in the 23rd minute of all players to pop up and score. But a penalty to Josh King. The first goal by a Bournemouth player at Manchester United, at Old Trafford, in Bournemouth's history. And it came from a former Manchester United player. So that's pretty funny. But an interesting red card, Jake, to say the least. Probably was deserved of a red card. The talking points in this game could go on and on, but I think the main one here, Jake, is Manchester United, if they'd closed out their games against the likes of Burnley, Middlesbrough, now Bournemouth, I'm missing one or two.
That's already 6 points, and they're in third place.
And they're sitting
place.
fourth. Yeah, something like that. So,
but there's probably still another few that they probably should have won. Like, you remember, like, early in the season, they lost to Watford. So, nothing against Watford.
Exactly.
But at the same time, like, they lost away against Watford. Like, realistically, they would have gone in their favourites. If they managed to win that, then you add on the other games, like, they're in second. So, like, it's just one of those ones for United. Like, and it's, like, I'll just bring up this, like, stat that I've just seen just then as well. I was just going through their fixtures. They haven't lost in the Premier League since the 24th of October. And they're still sitting sixth. We're currently midway through March, and they haven't lost a Premier League game since the 24th of October, and they have sat sixth
for that
whole. I've just saw it before we started the podcast as well. Like, they have stayed sixth throughout that whole run from the 24th of October through to right now. They have stayed sixth throughout that whole time, and they haven't lost a game. It's ridiculous.
Very reminiscent of the early season Tottenham form, in fairness.
Yeah.
Just another thing you can say. Imagine if Tottenham converted all their draws into wins earlier in the season.
They'd probably be equal with Chelsea right now. Like, there was a good fucking 4 or 5 in a row for Tottenham too. So that's 10 points roughly. So yeah, United, and I've been saying it all season, they will click. And it's scary. It's going to be scary for the league when they do click. I don't think they're going to click this season. I still do think they will finish top four. And I think they're going to win the Europa League, which will get them Champions League football either way. They finish off 4 or Europa League. So they're going to click. And it's scary to think about it when Mourinho has the statistic that he's won the league every single time he's been at any club, any second season. as well at any club he's ever been to. I think that will probably continue as well, because they're bound to bring in some class players in the off-season as well. Ooh, they're going to lock down Ibrahimovic, they've locked down Pogba, they've got likes of Martial and Mkhitaryan who are starting to click as well into the style. They've got Mata who's going to be staying locked down. But I know they're going to lose Rooney, but like nothing against Rooney, Rooney's class, but Rooney's moving on. Like he's not exactly going to crack into that United team now. They're linked with players like Griezmann as well. Like it's ridiculous. It's going to be very, very scary when they do click, because like they could click next week. Like you never know. They could click tonight against Rostov in Russia, and they could come out and break them like 8-0. Like you never know. But they're a very, very good team, and they shouldn't be six. They are six, but I guess that's something that will make them strive to improve each week at the same time.
Yeah, you know what?
It's going to, I have no doubt in the world, everything is going to click in a few weeks when we play against Everton at Old Trafford.
Yeah, 100%.
No doubt at all.
We move on to the next game. Jake, that one is West Brom 0, Crystal Palace 2. Interesting game. Zaha opened the scoring in the 55th. Townsend iced the cake in the 84th. Jake, what has happened to West Brom here? They've been so solid all season. And then they come up against Palace at home, a team in the relegation scrap, and they get done 2-0. And realistically, it's probably not an undeserved result either.
I can't say, obviously. I watched too much of this game. It wasn't exactly... I said last week, and I stuck by it too, I didn't watch any games at 2 o'clock on the Sunday. Just there wasn't too many that were appealing to me. I was actually watching the League 2 of Italy. I did watch the highlights of all games, and realistically, you go off it. Palace deserved the win. So well done to them. As it's one of those ones for West Brom where if they manage to win this, especially with Everton losing to Spurs, if they win this, they're 1 point off 7. And obviously, you'd go into this game thinking West Brom should win. Nothing against Palace, they're improving every week. But West Brom should have definitely won this sort of game. And like I said, if they win it, they're 1 point off Everton, and they play Everton this week. So, a very disappointing result from a West Brom perspective. Great result from a Palace perspective, because that puts them out of the relegation zone as well. But yeah, it's a very awkward one for West Brom, especially at West Brom too. If it was at Selhurst, I wouldn't have been too surprised. But because West Brom is one of those teams that do take advantage of their home ground advantage against the teams lower down the table, I was very surprised about this. But the goal from Andros Townsend as well was pretty good as well, running the length of the pitch of the ball, reminiscent of Barkley against Newcastle a few seasons ago. Except, I reckon Barkley is probably a bit better, because Barkley didn't just collapse after he scored it. Townsend was absolutely cooked. can't really blame him, but, you know.
We'll move on to the next game. One of the games of the round, Jake. Watford 3, Southampton 4. Massive, massive game, this one, for the neutral. 36 shots on goal in this match. Only 15 of them on target, but that's still a fair amount, to be honest. Look, it was a topsy-turvy game. It's one that, if you'd chosen to watch this one, Jake, I'm sure you would not have been disappointed. Troy Deeney, 4th minute, opened the scoring. Fantastic goal, must be said. He's a really good player, showing his class. Still at Watford. Dusan Tadic, in the 28th minute, popped up. Scored one for Southampton. Nathan Redmond in stoppage time did give Southampton a half-time lead. Before Stefano Okaka Chuka brought Watford level 2-2 in the 79th minute. Gabbiadini, as Gabbiadini has done so far at his time at Southampton, Yellowich, brought it back to a 3-2 lead to Southampton in the 83rd minute. Redmond made that a 2-goal lead 3 minutes after that to make it 4-2. Game looked dead and buried. Abdoulaye Doucouré in the 94th minute put a bit of a scare through the Southampton camp, but it was too late, too little too late at the end of the day. 3-4 to Southampton, a win that pretty much does make sure that they're going to be in the league next season. They're now 11 points above relegation. You think it's enough at the moment, sitting in 10th.
Yeah.
Watford still in and around. I mean, 31 points, 9 points clear of relegation. It's not impossible.
It's not correct.
We've seen more remarkable things than that. Barcelona this morning included. Look, Southampton get the W. Gabby Deeney scores again. Redmond scores 2. Redmond playing arguably his best game in a Southampton shirt, and he's played a fair few decent games for them. So,
yeah, yes.
And well done, Southampton, picking up 3 points here, Jake.
Yeah, it's a good result for Southampton, obviously. I definitely did think that Southampton would get the win, but just didn't really see a 4-3 sort of game in it. Gabbiadini scoring. Redmond's actually really improved over the last month or so as well, which is really good for Southampton, because I thought he was a class signing for them, and then he's not really hit his straps really this season so far. A very weird game. Like, none of the goals, like, there was a few, like, all right goals and stuff, but like, it wasn't really one of those games that, even when you look at the scoreline 4-3, the first, like, 82 minutes was rather dull anyway at 2-2. So, like, I don't know. Like, when you look, obviously I watched, like, the 10 to 15 minute highlights of every single game, and there wasn't too much in it. Like, literally every reasonable chance in the game went in the back of the net. So I guess that proves both teams were reasonably clinical, but at the same time, it's just, I don't know, like a 4-3 game looked good, but at the same time, it was sort of like similar to Palace versus Swansea at the start of the season, where that ended 5-4, but it wasn't really like a world-class game at the same time.
Speaking of Swansea, Jake, there's the next team we're going to cover. they hosted Burnley. Fernando Llorente scoring his 10th goal of the season in the 12th minute of the game. To give them the lead, Andre Gray from the penalty spot in the 20th minute brought Burnley back to 1-1. The team that struggles away from home this season actually took the lead in the 61st minute. Andre Gray popping up again to make it 2-1. Didn't last long. Martin Olsen in the 69th minute of all players probably scored a header, let's be honest, to make it 2-2. Fernando Llorente in the 92nd minute made sure Swansea got the home win, and Burnley's struggles away from home continued as my pizza arrives. Fernando Llorente has scored 11 goals this season, Jake. He took a bit of time to hit his straps, but he's certainly turning into a little bit of a shrewd signing for Swansea, who continue to improve under manager Paul Clement.
Yeah, he's looking class. Fair play to Swansea. Like, I guess it did take a while for him to click, but now I think the new manager is really gelling everything Swansea do around Sigurdsson and Llorente, and it's obviously working. Sigurdsson is getting an assist or a goal every week. Llorente scoring basically every week as well. I felt sorry for Swansea in a way, like, for the Burnley's first goal, because it should have never in a million years been a penalty. Mm-hmm. Like, that's one of the worst penalty decisions I've seen in a long, long, long time.
Didn't see it.
the ref gave it a handball, like the penalty of handball, but it was a Burnley player.
I did see it. Yeah.
No Swansea player went close to touching the ball with his hand. But the weird thing is, and I hated it, like, fair play, I'd love it if I was an Everton fan. Like, I'd think, yeah, it's not as far, like, it's great to see. But it was the Burnley player that handballed it was the one that led the appeals for a handball.
dodgy.
But I guess it worked and they got a goal from it, I guess. And when you're in that sort of situation away from home, you don't really get too many points away from home. It's one of those ones where you take anything you can get, but it was a bit snotty. Fair play to Swansea. They've really kicked on. I'm really happy that the new manager has come in and is being as successful as he has. And I think they're one or two wins away from being clear of relegation. Like, usually they say the 40-point mark is like the safe zone, but I reckon probably roughly 35 point mark is probably safe this season, and right now they're only sitting 8 points from that. So It's really good because I never wanted Swansea to go down. I've always liked Swansea in the Premier League since they came up like 4 or 5 seasons ago. And right now it is looking like relegation's almost set as well. Because like if I'm going off that logic that the 35-point mark's probably the safe mark, Palace only need another 10 points to do that in the next 11 games too. And Borough don't look like they're winning games anytime soon. Hull are struggling and they've got a lot of tough fixtures coming up. Sunderland, I don't think they're going to get out of it this season. So I'm really happy for Swansea. They deserve it as well as hopefully Everton can sign Sigurdsson at the end of the season.
It would be nice, but if they stay in the Premier League, he's probably going to stick around, isn't he? In more positive news, if Sunderland go down, Pickford will probably go to Everton. So can't complain here. All topsy-turvy stuff. Burnley,
big Dick, little Dick's cardboard box.
Burnley, are they safe, you reckon? 9 points clear? Their home form is what's keeping them in the Premier League right now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Burnley's got probably about 5-6 home games still. So that's like about 10 points. So yeah, they'll be safe.
For a team that's got the best home form in the league, you're only giving them 10 points off 5 or 6 home games?
Yeah, well, it depends on who they're playing. Like, Burnley aren't exactly a team. Like, even if obviously Everton have already played there, but Everton were going to come up against Burnley at home at the end of the season. Like, in Burnley, obviously, I wouldn't be worried. Like, I'd still expect Everton to go there and win. So they're not exactly a team, because I'm pretty sure that Burnley still have a few tough teams to go there as well. So, like, they're safe. That's my answer to the question, but I don't think they're going to be one that's going to get 15 points from their next 5 games at home.
Speaking of teams who won't get 15 points from the next 5 games at home, Middlesbrough travelling to Stoke City.
They might get 5 nil draws.
And struggled. And Arnautović, 2 first half goals, the first of which was a very nice individual piece of brilliance from a man who has yet to really fulfil his potential. He's never really kicked on from like 2 seasons ago where he was really good, but he's still a decent player on his day. He just terrorises shit teams. But yeah, Stoke get the 2-0 win, push them up into 9th, or retain that 9th position. Middlesbrough still in that relegation scrap. Would have been nice if they got a point here, but they didn't. And Stoke City fully deserve their victory. Jake?
Yeah, well, it's a shame, because like last season, I'm pretty sure I would have spoken to you about it. Like, I wanted Borough to be up in the Premier League, because obviously one of my mates, Manning, supports them. And they were so cool. They're like Derby, basically. Like, they've been on the brink of being promoted like 5-6 seasons in a row. So I wanted to see them have a crack in the Premier League, because they've got a really nice stadium too, and I always like teams having nice stadiums in the Premier League too. But I think they're going down. They don't have it, realistically. They've got decent players. They've got players like Negredo and Traore and Gaston Ramirez. But like I said to you a few weeks ago, if you look through like their defence, like their back four, realistically, that is like a championship defence. And having championship defenders in your defence in the Premier League, obviously you're not going to really trouble too many teams. They're a tough team, Middlesbrough. Obviously, Everton experienced that twice this season, but they're just one of those teams that, like, they'll lose, like, every game. Like, every game they lose, they'll lose, like, 1-0. Like, they're not going and getting battered.
They're a team that'll lose every game.
Like, when they're losing games, they'll lose, like, 1-0. Like, if you look at their goal difference, like, they've played 27, they've won 4 and lost 13. So they've lost 9 more than they've won, but their goal difference is only minus 11. So, like, they're only losing the games that they lose, they're only losing, like, 1 or 2 nil. But that's their problem. They're not scoring goals.
Yeah, well, that is a problem in the Premier League.
It can be, yeah. You never know. Like, they could have come out and got 38 nil draws and they would have stayed up. But, you know,
that's not going to happen. Speaking of staying up, Jake, Leicester City look like they may well be clear.
Go on, different.
Of, I get it. Speaking of staying up, though, Jake, Leicester City look like they have survived relegation this season. They've got 2 on the trot. Push themselves up to, how many points are they on? 27, so 5 clear of relegation. Yeah. And it doesn't look like they're going to slow down. Looks like since Ranieri's gone, they just look like a different team. They only versed Hull, albeit if you cast your minds back to the opening game of the season. Hull beat Leicester, and we were very surprised. But Leicester got them this time. Sammy Klukas actually opened the scoring in the 14th minute for Hull. So it didn't look good for them early, but Christian Fox, the 27th minute, gave them the equaliser. Riyad Mahrez, after halftime, put them 2-1 up before Tommy Huddleston scored an own goal in the 90th minute. He was very devastated by it, you could tell. And a 3-1 win to Leicester. That's about all she wrote for them, really. Leicester, like I said, turned a new corner since Ranieri has been sacked. Good for them. Yeah. For about 95% of people that watch football, we're pretty disappointed. You know, that happens.
They're obviously
a class team. Like, they've got really good players still. I mean, they're not really a different team the last season, apart from Kante. Still got Vardy, still got Mahrez, still got Drinkwater. But, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, no, they deserve the win. They're a class team, obviously. Like, realistically, you look through their team, I think it would be... Looking at the team right now, I'm pretty sure it's like 7 or 8 of their starting 11 were part of the squad last season that won the league. So any team that wins the league, realistically, they're not horrible. Like, I know last season was a stroke of genius. Somehow they did it. But actually, looking at the team, 10 of the 11 players that started won the league last season. So, like, they're obviously decent players. I don't know what's happened with Ranieri and what happened with the players and Ranieri and stuff. Obviously, Ranieri may have been an issue, or the players had an issue with Ranieri or something. I'm not too sure. But I don't think they're going to get relegated. So, fair play to them. What?
Pizza.
Yeah, but nah, they're going to stay up. I think they were always going to stay up, but... It would have been funny to see them go down after what they've done to a manager that bought them so much. Sure.
Yep. Apologies to all listeners there. I didn't realise the crust was that crunchy.
It makes you feel any better. I didn't hear it that much. That's why I didn't really have much of an idea why you were laughing.
I just started laughing for no reason then, apparently.
all I could hear was you laughed, and I was asking you what, and you're like, pizza.
Yeah, Liverpool 3, Arsenal 1. Speaking of pizza, Roberto Firmino scored in the 9th minute. Sadio Mane scored in the 40th. Danny Welbeck in the 57th.
What are you talking about? Jorginho, what do you mean speaking Wijnaldum of pizza?
In the 91st minute, Jake.
What do you mean speaking of pizza?
Oh, I couldn't tell you, mate. A good win for Liverpool. One probably...
It would have made sense if it was West Ham, but yeah, it doesn't make sense now.
Yeah.
if West Ham win a game, like if West Ham win, then all of their home fans get a free slice of pizza when they walk out. So,
I'd love to be a West Ham fan.
No, you wouldn't. They don't win home games.
What did I say? Liverpool.
Don't know, Jules.
They won 3-1 against Arsenal. Almost, like, even before the Bayern Munich game, pretty much a dagger for Arsene Wenger through his heart. Because it looks like he is going to go, whether that's before or after the next game or after the season. Who knows? I think it's inevitable at the moment, Jake, that Arsene Wenger is not going to be Arsenal manager next season. And despite, like, they're a consistent side. They're always in the top four, pretty much. But I think they've had enough in regards to the squad they have could potentially challenge for the title, and they just don't. Last season they did, but obviously Leicester ran away with it, finished 10 points above them. But this season they've just been a shadow of their former selves. In patches, they've lost games they probably shouldn't. They've drawn games they probably shouldn't, and they've lost 10-2 in aggregate to Bayern Munich in the Champions League. So it's not a really good viewing for the fans. Obviously, if you watch Arsenal Fan TV, you'll notice that. But yeah, I think Arsene Wenger's out is probably nailed on certainty, Jake. Liverpool, on the other hand, they tend to get up for these type of games, so I don't think it was really any of a surprise to see them win this one, Jake. Yeah, I think that's pretty much odds on, mate.
I guess he's going to go on a rant, Jordan.
me?
if you want to, then sure.
What's
yeah, I'm not happy about certain things going on at Arsenal Football Club at the moment to do with one Arsene Wenger. Because it's just harsh the way that he's being treated, in my opinion, by
this is,
the Arsenal
This is big
fans.
Coming from... You're not an Arsenal supporter. You're probably not someone that gets passionate about other clubs.
No,
so
I fucking hate Arsenal.
A rant about something that you don't care about. Here we go.
Yeah, I just think... Well, certain aspects. I think Arsene Wenger... I think it is time to go for Arsene Wenger. I'll put that out there. I think he does need to leave with some sort of dignity that he does have left at Arsenal. But certain fans at Liverpool and the game against Bayern Munich chanting, Arsene Wenger, you're killing our club. Let's just go back about 10, 15 years. Arsene Wenger basically built Arsenal's reputation single-handedly. So he's not exactly killing the club, he's more killing the reputation that he built. And he's not even doing that, in my opinion. People say Arsenal don't win trophies anymore. Put yourself in an Everton fan's shoes. I've supported Everton week in, week out. Well, not week in, week out for 15 years, but I've supported Everton for 15 years. And about since I was 13, I haven't missed an Everton game. And that's watching games at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning every single week. And I haven't seen Everton win a trophy. Arsenal have won 2 FA Cups in the last 10 years. Sure, for an Arsenal perspective, that's not good, realistically. Mm. But if you put yourself in other teams' shoes, like Newcastle have won like 1 trophy in 40 years. Everton haven't won a trophy in like 22 years. West Ham haven't won a trophy in a very long time. Like, they're all reasonably big clubs. Tottenham haven't won a trophy in 10 years. Liverpool's won 1 trophy in 10 years. Like, if you put it into that sort of perspective, like, I froth when Arsenal lose games and I get to log onto my YouTube and watch Arsenal fan TV because it is fucking hilarious to see how much they lose their shit. And they're all passionate fans. Fair play to them. They're all passionate. And I have no problem with banners saying, something along the lines of thank you for the memories but it's time to go or something like that, because it's acknowledging people acknowledging the past, saying thank you for what you've done and stuff like that. But to hear people chant Arsene Wenger, you're killing our club, when he basically makes your fucking club, like when if someone was to look back on Arsenal's all-round history in like 50 years, the most history that they'd look at would be between that patch that Arsene Wenger was manager. And I think it's basic, it's pathetic to be calling, be wanting your manager's head that much. I think Arsene Wenger does need to leave. I have no doubt about that. But I think they're going to get a reality check when he does leave. When Arsene Wenger leaves, Ozil, I think Ozil and Sanchez, for one, won't be there next season, which is going to be fucking huge. They're going to need to sign a new keeper because I think Petacek's past it. They're going to need
He's
to
passing
sign.
Now. Imagine next season.
Exactly. They're going to need to sign a left back because I don't rate Gibbs or Monreal in the slightest. They need to sign a new defensive mid because Coughlin and Xhaka are both average.
Mm-hmm.
They're obviously going to need to replace Sanchez and Ozil. So I think they're going to be well up against it. If they replace Arsene Wenger, realistically right now, what manager is on the market? Because the only manager you can think of is what's his name? Atletico Madrid's manager.
Well, I think it might be a case of they might have to try poach a manager from a different club. And that's what I'm thinking, maybe Eddie Howe, potentially.
Yeah, exactly. But honestly, Arsene Wenger has got Arsenal top four the last, like, 15, 20 years in a row. Consistently. Mm. Every single season. It's not like they've won the league one season, then they've gone off the boil for a few seasons and not finished top four. He has finished in the top four every single season in that patch. Literally every season. I know they're sitting fifth right now, but do you know how much I would love if Everton finished in the top four once every 10 years?
Like, it's a highlight if we finish in the top four. We finished
exactly
like what, fourth, like 10 years ago.
Yeah, so it's just like Arsene Wenger does need to go, but for fans to be sitting there abusing him is ridiculous, especially like when you look about 3 years ago. And I know it's a different, whole different complex, but when you look about 3-4 years ago, when Sir Alex Ferguson retired from Manchester United, like
they never got back to the heights of that. Time.
The Manchester United fans would not be able to hail Sir Alex Ferguson enough at all. And I honestly think in Sir Alex Ferguson's last season, I know he won the league in his last season, but if he had finished like 10th that season, I think all Manchester United fans would have shown him still 150,000% respect throughout the whole season. And I know clubs have different mentalities and stuff, and it's not one for me to say, because last season, every single day of my life for about 5 to 6 months, I don't think I went one day without making a tweet about Martinez wanting him out. But I think that's a whole different complex, because Martinez realistically brought nothing to Everton. So,
yep.
What?
No, I agree. Yep.
It's just one of those. It's just football fans are very fucking fickle, and I'm one of them. I'm not going to sit here and fucking go on rants about people and think that I'm any different in a way, because I've called for managers' heads in my time as well. But at the same time, like, fucking hell, Arsene Wenger's literally gone once 49 games unbeaten, for fuck's sake. Like, I'm gonna stop, because I could go on again like I did in the A-League one, but it's just, I wish people would show a bit more respect for someone that has broken record books and stuff like that.
That's football fans, Jake, sometimes.
It is, 100%.
We'll kick on.
It is.
We'll kick on. Tottenham beat us 3-2, obviously. Tough game.
It's a great game to move on to, mate.
Kane scoring 20th minute, 56th minute. Lukaku brought it back to 2-1 in the 81st. Slight chance. Dele Alli, just in poor defence, capitalised, 3-1, 92nd minute. Valencia scored in the 94th minute, but it was nothing but a consolation. And a very convincing Tottenham victory against us, it must be said. Look, I mean, we don't really have to spend too much time with it. I'm sure we both agree. We didn't look in it at all. At any moment in the game, we didn't look in it. And I think we both underestimated Tottenham. We didn't underestimate them, but we probably didn't think they were as good as they are.
I wouldn't say I underestimated them, but I didn't think they were that good, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's like what I meant.
I knew they were good, and I went into it thinking Spurs were going to win, but I didn't think it was going to be that convincing. Mm. Like, they were very, very good. And, like, I looked at the league table this time last week. Nothing against Tottenham at all, their class, but I didn't really think Tottenham deserved to be second. But after watching that game against us, they 110% deserved to be second. And then sort of made me happy looking on Twitter during the game and after the game of Tottenham fans saying Everton right now what Tottenham were in Pochettino's first season there. Which, if we could be anything like Tottenham right now in a few seasons' time, then I'd 110% take that. And one of the most underrated players I've seen, not even this season, but I think in my time watching consistent Premier League for the last 7 to 8 years, Moussa Dembélé is one of the most underrated players I've seen in the Premier League.
Mm.
Like, he's ridiculously good, and he doesn't get the applause he deserves. Because those positions, like, no one's looking at a Trissagana Gay, who's exactly the same position and stuff like that, who... no one looks at him thinking, oh, that's going to be a scary player to play against. But no one really, really still realises what those players do until they come up against them.
Well, Kante got the Portis last season. But apart from that, you can't really think of many players.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Dembele, even Wanyama was class as well.
Dembele is a class player. Very well-rounded player in that middle of the pitch. Can do pretty much everything, which is what you want.
Yeah, it was a draining game. I went into it thinking we were going to lose, being typical negative me. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think the first 20 minutes we played well, but then they just took control. They grabbed the game with both hands. Eriksen and Kane did their stuff. And I had a sneaky feeling late in the game that we were going to equalise after Lukaku scored, and we had a chance too. It's just really frustrating that we conceded that third and then straight after we make it two, because if we don't concede that third, obviously we somehow nick a point away from Tottenham. But
without deserving it.
Yeah, exactly. No deserving the slightest. Tottenham should have been up 4-0 at halftime. So well done, Tottenham. They were fantastic. I wasn't even salty about the game in the slightest. I'm usually salty as fuck when my teams lose, but I wasn't salty in the slightest. They were just pure class, and well done to them.
Yeah, I agree. I think I was making tweets saying how good Tottenham are and shit like that instead of how bad we are. So
yeah,
like we weren't good, but Tottenham.
I'm not going to look into that performance too much. I think Tottenham have done that to a few teams. Like I watched the Tottenham versus Chelsea game, and when Tottenham broke Chelsea's like 14 game winning streak, and Tottenham were class in that, and I think that just proves the way Pochettino has been playing too. I think it's disappointing on Tottenham's perspective that they can't really move it into European football at the moment. But I think they will in, obviously, the near future, because they'll probably be playing Champions League again next season, which is good for them. But it'll be interesting to see how they do go next season playing out of Wembley all season too. Because I think they've definitely built a really good fortress at White Hart Lane. So can be interesting to see how they back that up next season, because they haven't done too well at Wembley this season in the European competitions.
Another West Ham season, maybe.
Yeah, but at least they're not going to be fucking stuck there.
Sunderland hosted Man City. Aguero, 42nd minute. Sane, 59th minute, is all she wrote. City won 2-0. Dominant performance from them. Once again, as you expect. Although Sunderland look pretty good on the counter. Man City being all class, got the win they needed. Well, that's all she wrote, Jake. So Aguero continuing to shine in a return to the team since Gabriel's injury, Jake.
I really don't know what to say on it.
Yeah, there's nothing.
I really don't. City were decent. I watched the first half. They were class. They should have been up. Like similar to what, really. They should, instead of being 1-0 up half time, they should have probably been up about 3 or 4. But I think no one really expected too much different. Like, we actually did say last week that this could be a game where Sunderland do manage to pull up and win. But I think it's one of those ones. I don't think Sunderland are the Sunderland they have been, if that makes sense. Like, this is usually the time where Sunderland pick up in the season and make their great escape.
I almost shot $10 on Sunderland.
But I just really do not see that in Sunderland this season at all. I think they will go down this season. City were class, and it's disappointing for their sake that they drew this morning as well, because if they had won that, then they could have moved into second place and 8 points behind Chelsea. But, I don't think too many people were surprised with that game. Jordan.
Speaking of Chelsea, they travelled to West Ham Stadium. Olympic Stadium, I don't know what it's called. Hazard scored, 25th minute, good goal. Costa, 50th minute, good goal again. Manuel Lanzini in the 92nd minute gave West Ham a little bit of a chance, but it wasn't to be. And Chelsea get a pretty good away win against West Ham in a game which they didn't control the ball, they didn't have more shots, didn't have more corners, didn't make more passes. But they got the 2-1 win.
Literally what I'm about to say. I think West Ham were the better team as well. Which, that's frustrating from a West Ham perspective, because it could have been a huge game for them, where if they had have managed to somehow get a win from this, they would have moved up into ninth, which is great for them in perspective to how they've actually played this season, because they did struggle at the start of the season. Numerous times, there's not much you can do about it. If you don't take your chances, you don't win games, obviously. And West Ham dominated like the first half. I haven't seen, apart from Tottenham probably, I haven't seen a team play like that against Chelsea this season in the first half. Like the first about 30 or so minutes, West Ham were ridiculously good, and then Chelsea just went bang on a fast counter-attack. They went from one side of the pitch to the other in a matter of like 8 seconds, 9 seconds, and Eden Hazard's put it in the back of the net. You're 1-0 down. And it basically just deflated not just West Ham, but basically the whole game. And then Chelsea makes it 2 straight after halftime. And West Ham just didn't really get back into it. They had a really, really good chance to equalise after they made it 2-1. But yeah, it's just one of those ones where they really did obviously need to take one of those chances where they were dominating at the start of the game. And then Chelsea did go up on the other pitch on one of the fastest counterattacks I've seen in a long time. And to just go bang 1-0 in one of the most undeserved goals I've seen in a long time, it's just very deflating, especially against a team like Chelsea. Like, if that was to happen against a team like Sunderland or Hull or Middlesbrough or something, West End probably would have come back from it and stuff and would have relaxed. But when you see a class team like Chelsea just do that to you, it's just... I don't even feel deflated as an Everton fan seeing it too.
Well, that's why we go on every week about how Chelsea are going to be champions, because they get away with these sort of results and get victories.
Yeah.
And that's why they're going to win the winners of the league.
It proves their class. It does. It's draining at times as well, because it's been a while since we've seen a close title race. Like last season, we went down to the last 3 to 4 weeks, but then Millwall, Leicester went and won the league by about 10 points. And then Chelsea, obviously, the season before, won the league by a comfortable margin. So it's frustrating because I want to see a close title race, but it's just not happening, I guess. Because like the season before that, when Chelsea, City and Liverpool were separated by about 3 points with 2 weeks left and stuff like that, and the whole Gerrard slipping incident and Liverpool away at Palace and stuff like that, like that was a very, very entertaining season. And then the last 3 seasons, the title race is just... been very, very dire, Jordan.
We'll cover the last game. Yeah, it's going to be two teams. We've already covered this episode, but they played again for some reason. Manchester City hosted Stoke City. Poor result for Man City, this one. Yeah. 0-0 at home. To a Stoke outfit that is up and down this season. They obviously won on the weekend, but... you would have fully expected Man City to win this one. Unfortunately for them, it wasn't to be. Just the one shot on target, Jake, for Man City. So, I'm not sure if the short turnaround has caused them problems. But a big opportunity for them. They could have gone up into second place. And unfortunately, they would have stayed in third, but equal points with Tottenham in second. Well, they're on equal points. No, wait, they would have gone for second outright. I saw that said 30-54. but, point missed opportunity here for Man City at the end of the day. I'm struggling with this game.
Don't look at the group chat.
Oh, yeah.
it's disappointing. It's disappointing from a City perspective, obviously. I saw a stat after this game too. Manchester City, like overall over their 27 games they've played in the league this season, have an average of 72% possession. That is ridiculous. It's the most in Premier League history to this point as well. Mm-hmm. The next most was Chelsea when they won the league 2 seasons ago. Chelsea were at 61% possession. So when you put it in perspective what Guardiola was trying to do with our City, it's definitely possession orientated,
and just a 65% this game,
which is interesting when you look at that. But at the same time, it's not that interesting because you'd expect a Stoke team to try and go for the win at the same time. But like they've had weeks sometimes, City, where they've had like 78% to 80% possession against teams like Sunderland and Middlesbrough and Hull and shit like that. Which I think that's where it balances out, but I don't really know what to say on the game. Like, realistically, I watched the 10-minute highlights, and I don't know how they managed to fit 10 minutes of highlights into this game.
Into 3 shots on target for the match.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's all she wrote in the Premier League.
Was it? I thought she wrote more.
We'll quickly just go through the stat leaders before we do a quick preview.
Let us.
Top scorers in the league, Harry Kane, 19. Romelu Lukaku, 18. Alexis Sanchez, Diego Costa, 17. Ibrahimovic, 15. So that's nice and dandy. Assists, Sigurdsson and Eriksson, 10. De Bruyne and Sanchez, 9. Matty Phillips, 8. Fabregas, Lallana and Pedro, 7.
Kevin De Bruyne.
It's not one of the fucking things we have to go through. We're going to jog on to the next round.
We're going to jog. You're going to go for a jog?
Give him the jog, Jake, because we're starting things off with AFC Bournemouth versus West Ham United at home. Jake, what are you thinking?
Yeah. I'm thinking there's going to be a draw, Jordan. I think West Ham are improving, but I think they may struggle against Bournemouth away from home. Bournemouth are in that sort of patch where they are desperately dying for a few results. I think they may get a point for this one, Jordan.
Hmm. West Ham have never lost at Bournemouth.
They've only ever played there once, so...
Oh, wait, my bad. West Ham have lost none of their last three previous trips to Bournemouth.
Where have they played against Bournemouth away from home, other than...
They must have played in the Championship or something.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I don't know. Probably in the league or something. I don't know. I don't know, Jordan.
Back in the NSL days. I don't know. I'm going for a draw as well.
Are you?
Palace, not playing. Everton, host West Bromwich Albion. what's the statistics for this one? Everton are winless in the last three home games against West Brom, failing to score in each of those games.
I personally cannot wait to play a Tony Pulis run team, Jordan. I am really looking forward to it.
Speaking of Pulis, his side won the exact fixture, 1-0 last season. It's the only goal in the last three Premier League games between the sides at Goodison Park. So there would have been 2-0s previous to this 1-0 game.
Yeah, I was watching a bit of Toffee TV this afternoon, Jordan. And if Everton win this game, they pass their total points tally from the last two seasons, which is really good effort from them. It's not really too much to beat, realistically. And West Brom have never got more than 50 points in the Premier League era. Not once in their history have they got more than 50 points.
Hmm.
And they're sitting on 40 at the moment with 11 games left, so you back them to probably beat that. So, yeah, it's good signs for both teams. Both teams improving. I think it's going to be an Everton win. I usually do just say, or West Brom win or whatever, win, but I genuinely think, I think Everton should win. They'll definitely want to back up from a disappointing performance against Tottenham, but at the same time, West Brom would want to back up after a disappointing performance against Palace. So it'll be a tough game. I think it's going to be a genuine six-pointer. But yeah, I think we should be getting the 3 points in this one.
Tony Pulis. It's his 300th Premier League game in charge.
Hopefully it's last. It's definitely not going to be last, but yeah, I cannot stand coming up against Tony Pulis teams.
West Brom have won 39 points from 20 games against sides outside the top six this season, which is more than any other club, between teams currently in position 7 to 20th. So they're the best against the rest, pretty much.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me too much. That's why, I guess that's sort of why it surprised me that they beat Palace, that they lost to Palace as well, because like, I wouldn't really back West Brom to beat any of the top six, maybe even top seven realistically, but they've usually looked class against the rest, as you stated.
They are the best of the rest. I'm going for Everton to win. Hull City. They host Swansea. I'm going to straight out say Swansea's going to win this game, Jake.
I think it's going to be a draw, actually.
Hull have actually beaten Swansea twice already this season, both 2-0 in the Premier League and the FA Cup. So
yeah, I think, like, it's... I'll rate Swansea and what they're building with their new manager, but I think it's just one of those ones where it's going to be a kind of a treat for them. Obviously, when you're a Welsh team, you don't really look forward to travelling to Hull. But yeah, I think it's going to be a draw.
I'm just smashing my pizza still.
Yeah, I can hear that.
A lot of postponed games. Only one more game to cover. Liverpool versus Burnley. Liverpool's going to fucking destroy them.
I think Liverpool will win. Burnley. I don't think they'll destroy them.
Well, Liverpool lost 2-0 back to these guys in August, but or was it Burnley? So. Burnley's last win at Anfield was in September 1974. Since then, they've drawn one and lost eight in their nine visits in all competitions.
That's like 50 years. That's 43
years ago.
Yeah. Wowee. No, well, like I said, I think Liverpool will win.
Burnley, just by the way, Burnley haven't won both games against Liverpool in the same season since 1930.
Well, Burnley aren't going to win. Let's just put it that way. They're not going to win, but
I'm just
it's going to be one
win,
of those...
They're breaking an 87-year drought.
It's going to be one of those ones for Liverpool where they don't come up for these games. You said it at the start of the podcast. I said it last week. Liverpool always turn up against teams like Tottenham, Chelsea, United, Arsenal, City, but they don't turn up against the teams like Hull, Burnley, Swansea. Like, they just can't be fucked, I guess. But they will win, but I think it may be one of those struggles where they get, like, they win, like, 2-0, but they score in, like, the 60th and the 80th minute or something. But...
I can see that being the case, but I can also see Burnley winning.
Can you imagine?
Be the ultimate piss take. That's all she wrote, Jake, in regards to everything in this podcast. We'll be back on Tuesday, probably, I guess. I'm just trying to think if we're doing a Socceroos one, but the final squad's not announced until next Wednesday anyway, so...
We will bring you the A-League Hour next Wednesday, as the A-League only has 2 games this week and 3 games next week. So we'll have a long time for a conversation topic, so we'll use that conversation topic as a Socceroos squad roundup, Jordan.
A-OK, bae. So until Wednesday, Jake.
Have a nice... I'm on top of the world, eh?